Welcome to Stupid Not Stupid. I'm Matt, here with my man Jason, the co-host whose force affiliation has never been in question.
That's true.
Yeah. No further information, though?
That's right.
Not going to elaborate at all?
No.
Jason, we're back.
I know. It has been a minute.
A year and a half?
Just about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, not a year. I think the last episode that came out was in March of 2023.
But we've recorded since then.
Yes.
We recorded in December of 23.
Right.
But it just hasn't been released.
Right.
But it will be released as bonus content
Yes.
in season two of Stupid Not Stupid, which
Yes.
we are officially launching at this moment.
Yes.
To be released on May the 4th, full circle.
Exactly.
We're coming back. We're basically doing what Rian Johnson did with the Force Awakens.
Yeah, no.
We're just remaking the original.
Yeah, except it's going to be terrible.
we're coming back to our very first episode ever was a May the 4th Star Wars episode, and we're bringing it back with a May the 4th Star Wars episode.
This is our fourth May the 4th episode.
Okay, that's kind of funny. All right, well then, in terms of just recycling old material and rolling it out like a Disney assembly line.
Right.
Let's do what we always do, Jason.
Yeah.
And drinks. I'm just going to let you cover the drinks because for the first time, it's sort of a rare occurrence. We're both drinking the same thing.
It is sort of a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
But this particular drink, I'm very, very proud of. It hit me today right before we were going to start recording, and I sent you out to the grocery store and I went to the liquor store. So
just like any good marriage.
That's right. So I actually had the opportunity in the past year to visit Disney World and went down to Galaxy's Edge and saw all the cool Star Wars stuff there, and it's super cool. One of the things I had was a big old glass of blue milk.
Ugh.
And so looked up the recipe. Turns out you can find it online pretty easily. And so we made up a big pitcher of blue milk tonight.
Straight from the teat.
That's right. That was the green milk. But
hold on. There's two milks?
Yeah.
Hold on. What's the green one and what's the blue one? I'm completely
confused. The blue one was from the very first Star Wars movie, A New Hope.
Oh, is it like Obi-Wan doesn't drink?
No, it's where Aunt Beru was making blue milk in the kitchen.
Oh.
And serving it to Uncle Owen and Luke. And then the green milk is from The Last Jedi, where Luke Skywalker's on the...
In Clone Wars, what does Obi-Wan order when he tells the guy that he doesn't want to buy Death Sticks?
That's right.
There's something he orders in the bar, too.
There is, and I can't remember what it was.
I bet you it's blue milk.
It's not blue milk.
It's yellow milk.
That's right.
It's just different colors of milk throughout the Star Wars universe.
That's all they drink, right?
Well, that's what I'm drinking, too, so I don't have anything to add. I will say, I was surprised when you sent me the ingredient list. There's cinnamon, bananas, maple syrup,
yeah,
all of this shit, and I was like, this is not going to be good, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink it. I'll say that. Yeah. We have a blender full of it. We are going to drink
it. Yeah. You would only make this if there was something Star Wars themed in your life.
Yep.
It's not a drink you would order
enough out.
Right. Yeah. but yeah, it's edible.
All right. Well, since it's been a minute and because it's May the 4th, I guess, I thought that it would be good to not do a complicated question. So I just have a very direct question for you on this May the 4th, Jason.
Okay.
Stupid or not stupid, Luke turned to the dark side.
Ah.
That's it. There's no crazy definitions. There's no bells and whistles. There's no moving the goalposts
right.
strategies. It's just straight up stupid or not stupid. Luke turned to the dark side.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter. We're not talking about when.
No,
when
we're just
or
saying
where,
that he did.
Right?
I have chronologically organized thoughts on this,
right.
But we're not specifying.
I'd expect no less of you. Yeah. No, that's a good one. Actually, my inclination. I could make the argument either way.
So you want to know what I think, so you know what you
think? No, I'm trying to decide
be the exact opposite.
Right. I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to side with Mark Hamill or not. Because he would say absolutely not. Luke was 100% a good guy.
Okay, would Mark Hamill say that, or would Mark Hamill believe that original Luke was that, and is the reason he's so upset with the evolution of the character of Luke that he also believes that that's the direction that the character took?
I don't know. The interviews that I've seen with him, it seems to indicate he seems to say that what upset him about that was that Luke doesn't basically go out as the hero. He doesn't do the heroic thing, because he doesn't really,
right.
And that he's just sort of this broken down sad sack on this island for 20 years, and Mark Hamill's point was that that's not something Luke would ever do.
You know what the most interesting thing about that is, Jason? Mark Hamill doesn't get a vote in this. We get to decide.
That's right.
It's up to us. Mark Hamill doesn't matter. We are the ultimate authority on this question, and we're going to get to the bottom of it on this episode.
All right.
So what I thought that I would do is I'm going to ease you into it, Jason. I'm going to warm you up. We'll have a little foreplay here.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into the precedent that it's set across the Star Wars universe for Luke being predisposed to being seduced by the dark side, because I think that there is plenty of collaborating evidence seen through the story arcs of other characters that runs parallel to Luke's own journey into fear, anger, hate, and suffering,
right?
Which, as we all know, is the path to the dark side.
That's right.
So what is something that Luke has in common with other Jedi, quote unquote, Jedi characters or Force users who are Jedi affiliated, who end up either tapping into the dark side or their ongoing character arc? Because some of these things are still going on with Disney's ever growing suite of different ways to recycle the same content over and over again.
They got to make that money back that they paid George Lucas somehow. So, right.
Which apparently he hoards in his neck. That's where, that's where he stores all the money, the billions and billions of billions. That's why his neck looks like that. Here, well, let me list through some of the key Force users here who have either gone full dark side or have run dark side adjacent across the universe. So obviously, we have Anakin,
right?
We have Ben Kenobi, and I think it remains to be seen, but there's certainly strong suggestion and a solid opportunity for this to become true, and I hope it is, actually, Ezra from Rebels. And the one thing all three of those characters have in common with Luke is they all started their training late comparative to normal Padawans. So, look, maybe we can jump some of them in here, but we have the multiple instances of masters in the Star Wars universe warning of training Force users who are too old, that they're too old to begin the training.
Right.
I think Obi-Wan says it. Yoda says it. There are lots of different
instances. I think Mace Windu says it at one point.
He is to be trained then?
No. He will not be trained.
No.
He is too old.
He is too old. Yes. Too old to begin the training.
But when you go back and look at those three, so Anakin was 9 when he started his training, Ben was 10, and Ezra was 15. You know how old Luke was?
He was older than 15.
He was 19.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was thinking somewhere between 17 and 19.
So we have examples then of these three who all started even younger than Luke, who all either have flirted with the dark side, fully embraced the dark side and become a Dark Lord of the Sith, or it's still a little ambiguous, but it seems like they're on the path to the dark side.
Which also brings up an interesting question now that you mention it. Luke must have had a fake ID, because how else would he be able to get into the strip club, the Tashi station, and check out some power converters, right?
Now on stage 3. I think that is one of the best Robot Chicken.
I love it. And we've quoted it before in previous May the 4th episodes.
It's got to be the best one.
And Tashi station is proud to present the power converter.
So, look, I'm not saying that that is a I'm not saying that that's case closed on Luke turning to the dark side, but he's certainly predisposed in this particular category. If you look at the paths of other folks who started their training late and where they ended up, and no one started later than Luke, at least in the universe that's been covered up to this point.
So I got another one for you.
Okay.
It's not just that they started late, but all the characters that you mentioned, and you said Ben Kenobi. I think you meant Ben Solo.
Oh, Ben Solo. That is what I meant. Yeah. Kylo Ren.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Should we stop here? Did we just unlock our next May the 4th episode? Obi-Wan is a Sith Lord.
So the other thing that I think is interesting about that is all of them came from a background where they felt very put upon and socially outcast, right? So Anakin was a slave and was very resentful about being a slave. Ben Solo.
Which also worst secret disguise name of all time.
Right. he was at the training camp with Luke and Luke clearly didn't trust him. Yep. So
yeah, we'll come to that, obviously.
There were issues there. But with Luke, that they don't show it. But if there is a cutscene from A New Hope where he's hanging out with his friends, do you remember what his nickname was to all of his friends?
No.
Wormy.
Wormy?
Wormy.
Why would they cut that? I mean, that's just more brilliant George Lucas writing.
Yeah, but he like goes to tell all his friends that he sees a space battle up in the sky.
Oh, I have seen that cutscene where it's just like,
and they'll like make fun of him. They're like, oh, whatever, Wormy, you loser. Like, so he tried to fit in, but he really didn't have friends, just like the others.
It all tracks.
I'm buying it so far.
Okay, so leaving the age predisposition aside, there's also a reoccurring theme with some of the Force users who we put on that list, but also parallels with Force users in the Star Wars universe as we know it now, who we know have touched the dark side in some way and have taken particular actions. So let's start with Mace Windu. Mm-hmm. In canon, it's well known Mace Windu is so powerful because he's one of the only Jedi who can touch the dark side and not be corrupted with it. Right. I don't know if that's, if I'm like, I don't know what tier of Star Wars nerdom I rise to for knowing that.
Right.
But Mace Windu was at least a little bit more, that's I think the idea behind the purple lightsaber too.
I was going to say, you mix red and blue and you get purple.
You get purple, right? So he is a little bit more friendly with the dark side than other Jedi. And that brings us straight to the confrontation with Palpatine. And what does Mace Windu want to do after Palpatine is defeated and he has him surrendered, could be arrested, stand trial before the Senate, get to the bottom of everything? What does Mace Windu want to do?
Wants to kill him.
He wants to kill him.
He has control of the Senate and the courts. He's too dangerous to be left alive.
Let's bypass the courts. Yep. Get right to the sentencing.
Judge, jury, and executioner, Mace Windu. So
I am the law.
there has to be a Samuel Jackson quote somewhere where, I mean, some movie he definitely utters that line at some point. We'll have to go find it. So you have Mace Windu, someone who we know dabbles in the dark arts, as they'd say at Hogwarts. And then you think about Anakin and the famous moment, or Anakin and the moment on the bridge of, I'm not even sure whose ship it is at this point, but with Dooku on his knees at the feet of Palpatine when they're rescuing him in, what is the third movie even called now? Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
So in Revenge of, this is how little I care about the Anakin universe. In Revenge of the Sith, you have Anakin executing Dooku on his knees. Yep. You have Anakin murdering the Sand People. You have Anakin murdering General Teach in Clone Wars on the bridge of his ship, stabbing him through the heart with a lightsaber after he's already defeated him. You have all of the dark side moments with Anakin every time something happens with Ahsoka in Clone Wars. So right now, so with those two, we're already seeing this consistent theme of anyone who undertakes these actions of unnecessary murder in the name of, you know, the greater good, or he's too dangerous to stand trial, or he can't be left alive.
Right.
All of them end up, or at least the examples that we have, end up falling to the dark side or being a little bit too intimate with the dark side in some way on their particular arc. So why should that be any different from Luke? I'll stop there before I give the examples of why Luke also lines up perfectly with that, but we see it everywhere else. So why should Luke be different?
No, I agree. The one part that makes me sort of hesitate, though, is where he has not done that when you would expect him to. For instance, you know, throughout the entirety of Return of the Jedi, he doesn't kill a single Ewok. Why? Why is he not?
So, but let's talk about that for a second, Jason,
right?
Because there's a big change in Luke between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. The Luke that we see at the end of Empire is much different than the Luke that we see at the start of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, absolutely. Time has passed. Right.
So Luke comes walking through the doors in Jabba's palace, mm-hmm. dressed all in black. Now, we know George Lucas isn't subtle, and you can even look across the whole universe. Pretty much robe color determines the current state of your Force affinity.
Right. Luke is dressed darker than Anakin was as a Jedi.
Right.
Right.
So he comes in dressed all in black. And what's the first thing Luke does as he walks through the doors at Jabba's palace?
He force chokes two guards.
They didn't even try to stop him. He could have, I mean, they're literal like giant pigs.
Right.
Right.
And like they put their axes out and he went.
If he could, force will anybody, it's certainly the swine guards.
Right.
I mean, if he's waving hands and tricking everybody else, he goes straight to violence and just chokes out the guards.
Here's another question. Other than Anakin / Vader, have we seen anybody else use that power?
Well, the only people we've seen use that power are Sith.
Yeah.
Who force chokes anybody? It's okay. Well, I guess now we're by that logic, we're calling Luke a Sith already. But if you set him aside and say Luke's undecided, any other use of that power in the Star Wars universe exclusively, to my memory, is done by someone who's a Sith.
Yeah. This may be our first, we're stupid. Yeah. But off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody else that uses the Force choke.
Yep. So he just walks right in and asphyxiates with midichlorian magic immediately two poor swine guards. And you know how those guys, prodigious they populate.
Yes.
So they each probably had like 17 little swine kids at home squealing for their mommy and daddy. And I mean, what if they were a couple just, trying to get by? It's a tight labor market on Tatooine, right? I mean, yeah. They probably didn't have a choice.
Or, by the way,
look, they all seem to work there. Are they enslaved to Jabba? These guys could have been totally innocent. Luke doesn't even ask questions. He just comes in and pinches off those aortas.
That's right. They could have belonged to unions.
That's right.
No, this whole argument, actually, this is sort of a sidetrack here, but I remember being in high school with a bunch of my friends and having an argument about, if you could be anybody in Star Wars, who would you want to be? And, the joke was always when you're a kid, you want to be Luke. When you get to high school, you want to be Han Solo. When you're in your 20s, you want to be Darth Vader. Somebody's like, nah, man, I want to be Yoda. I mean, he could lift an X-Wing up out of the swamp with the Force. And I was like, yeah, but if you can choke somebody out at 30 feet, you can get them to get the X-Wing out of the swamp.
All right. So, look, we have this parallel here between people like Mace Windu, obviously Anakin, committing murder for ease and convenience.
Right.
To make their pathway to the next plot development just a little bit more smooth and less circuitous. I don't know. I don't know if that makes the case here, but it certainly feels like Luke, as we stand at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, is starting to get in that Mace Windu territory of being just a little bit too friendly with that fringe border between the light and the dark. But that's just at the start of the movie. So let's get to the moment where I'm going to make the case to you, and I think I've made it before on the show, so you already know what I'm going to say, where I think Luke actually makes the flip, where he actually, well, not even makes the flip. Maybe he if he's existing on a spectrum, he finally tips one way or the other. He's balancing right on the fulcrum of good and evil, and he falls on the evil side. And I think that's definitely during the confrontation on the second Death Star.
Right, yeah, in Return of the Jedi.
In Return of the Jedi, yep.
Where he chops off Vader's hand.
Right. Well, so eventually, but a lot happens before he gets there, before he gets to that point where he chops off Vader's hand. So you have the whole confrontation on the bridge of, well, I guess it's not the bridge, in the Emperor's throne room on the second Death Star.
Which we also see in The Rise of Skywalker.
Which we also see in The Rise of Skywalker. And you have this, well, I guess it's not a dialogue because there's three of them. Is it a trialogue? You have this trialogue between... which probably it sounds like a George Lucas name for an alien race, the Trialogues.
Right.
But you have this scene between Vader, Palpatine, and Luke, which Palpatine taps into that first step on the road to the dark side, the fear, in the same way you see it through Ezra's journey, through Anakin's whole thing. He threatens them with the loss of his friends and or family. Right.
Right. Right.
He unveils the trap that's been sprung. Articulates the hopelessness of the rebels' situation, and then says to Luke, "I'm defenseless. Reach out for your Jedi weapon. Strike me down in anger, and your path to the dark side will be complete." I want to put a pin in this right here because I want to come back to this moment because I think this has an implication for an implication for later. But Palpatine's pretty explicit, like, "Use your anger. Strike me down. I am defenseless." And what does Luke immediately do? Uses his anger and attempts to strike him down. And Palpatine's obviously saved by Vader.
Now, one interesting point here, since you had brought up these comparisons to other people who had a similar journey, that doesn't happen with Ben Solo.
Well, no, but it's a little different. It's a little different with Ben, but that actually helps the argument. It doesn't hurt it because Ben's whole moment is literally Luke tries to murder him in his sleep. But I think we're going chronologically here.
Right. No, that's fair. And obviously, we're going to get to that scene too, because you know.
Yes, there's a lot to unpack with that one.
Jedi's not notorious for murder,
especially
in murdering younglings in their sleep.
Not in their sleep. I mean, like, look, accidents happen in the training yard, right. But once you're back in your mud hut, you should be safe, right? That's home base.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting point. I think that Lucas made it pretty explicit in Jedi that Luke is in danger of going to the dark side. And uses his anger, you know, and Vader is taunting him and like telling him, figures out that Leia is his twin sister, which, you know, it took him that long to figure out. Like, I thought you were a force user, but so Luke loses it and goes and attacks him full on, just rage bashing him with the lightsaber.
Right. And so this is where the fear turns to anger, right? This is the fear turns to anger moment, moving on that spectrum from the beginning of the fall to actually embracing the dark side. It's not until the moment, it's literally like Vader says, perhaps she, if you won't turn to the dark side, perhaps she will.
Yeah.
And then he just screams like a madman and just starts flailing on him with the lightsaber. He's attacking him in anger.
Yeah. Yeah. Unquestionably. And I think that Lucas set that up very specifically for that reason. And then you see him pull back, and it's interesting that it's Vader, not Luke, who kills Palpatine, or theoretically kills Palpatine. We find out all of that's bullshit. But
I think some of that's going to maybe possibly support the. Okay, I'm going to say, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
But rewatching some of the scenes that we're discussing today with this thought in mind, and I do not believe it is intentional. I believe it is completely accidental.
Right.
But there are some. I think some things we can get to later in this argument that make some of the Palpatine comes back stuff potentially kind of brilliant. And you know how I feel.
Oh, I know.
About the way this was packaged and put into the fucking whatever episode, not eight, nine, whatever episode nine was.
Well, that it's interesting. There's a whole lot of retconning going on in the Star Wars universe at this point. To try and fit all of the crap that happened in the sequel movies into the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And one of the things is this idea that Palpatine was trying to get Luke to kill him. Like, the new concept, the idea that Palpatine can move from one body to another that was established in episode 9. Now it's that the original plan was for Vader to turn to the dark side, and then Vader would quote unquote kill Palpatine, and Palpatine would just inhabit Vader's body. Because it was strong enough to, I don't know, withstand his power or whatever. And then when Vader got all burned up and chopped up, it was no longer his
physical
form was no longer strong enough to do that. So then Palpatine was looking to Luke and wanted Luke to kill him so that he could, you know, force ghost jump into
Luke. That's not exactly the way I'm thinking about it, but it's along the lines. I think there's something there. But before we come to that, because there's a whole other concept that I think puts a bow.
Yeah.
On this argument, I think we have to get to the attempted murder situation of the 10-year-old boy.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I guess, no, he started his training at 10. So what was he like? Maybe 14 or 15.
Right.
When Luke, the supposed good
guy. Still under legal age to kill.
So we know that Luke, I don't know, presumably, I think a jury could be persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt that he certainly tapped into the dark side when he dueled Vader on the second Death Star. But I think it would be difficult for anyone to argue that there's not a little dark side at play as he stands over the sleeping form of his nephew with a lit lightsaber contemplating his murder.
Yeah.
So when he's recounting this, I can't remember, again, I've seen each movie one time. Well, that's not true. I saw episode 7 twice because we did an episode on it and I had to rewatch it. But I fast forwarded, I think I told you, I fast forwarded through all the parts I thought was stupid.
That was episode 8.
Eight? Yeah. Oh, episode 8. And I think it took me 17 minutes to watch the movie.
Right.
Yeah. So I had to look this up. And this is so I forget who Luke is talking to when he explains this. I can't remember if it's Yoda or Rey, but he says,
I saw darkness. I'd sensed it building in him. I'd seen it in moments during his training. But then I looked inside, and it was beyond what I ever imagined. Snoke had already turned his heart. He would bring destruction and pain and death at the end of everything I love because of what he will become. And for the briefest moment of pure instinct, I thought I could stop it. passed like a fleeting shadow. And I was left with shame. And with consequence. And the last thing I saw were the eyes of a frightened boy whose master had failed him.
I mean, well, contemplating the murder of a child.
Yeah, he's standing over the kid with a lit lightsaber.
Yeah, I mean, he's what, like 99% of the way to Anakin in the hologram, just going full bore, slaughtering younglings left and right, force choking one while he slices the other in half.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult to say that the character of Luke Skywalker was constantly flirting with that balance, mm-hmm. right? That issue. He certainly had anger issues. I mean, from when he was a whiny teenager on, like, you see that frequently. And he was so, he says ashamed, I think afraid, that he basically stopped using the Force for 20 years.
So he stops using the Force for 20 years because he goes into exile, right? So we're talking here this fear, hate, anger, suffering. So we've gone through the fear, the hate, the anger, and we're moving towards suffering. I think the fact that he goes into exile and stops using the Force, you have to look at his exile, what it means both during the time that he's in it, and then also when Rey shows up, in comparison to Yoda and Obi-Wan, right?
Yeah.
They go into an exile either of the need for survival to preserve Jedi knowledge or to watch over Luke. And then as soon as they're presented with an opportunity to train and further the survivability, I guess, of the Jedi, they take it almost immediately. There's a little bit of false bravado on the Yoda side, but Obi-Wan jumps straight in almost right away. When Luke gets the same opportunity, once he's been trapped on this island, he throws the lightsaber over his shoulder and essentially refuses to train her.
Right.
And I think that combined with the 20 years of self-imposed exile, especially drinking the green milk.
Yes.
Is the ultimate, and with those like little nun fish creatures as his only company,
yeah.
It's the ultimate form of suffering, right? Like he's covered the full spectrum by this point.
Right. There is one other aspect. There's one other version of Luke that we see that mm-hmm. I think is also worth bringing up. And this is at the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian, where he comes and rescues them from whoever the evil general was with all the super troopers. When he shows up,
it's Gus from Breaking Bad.
Right. Yeah. When he shows up in his lone X-Wing.
In his black robe.
In a black robe. Like head to toe, completely black.
Crushing things with his hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Vader coming off the operating table at the end of
the only other scene that we see that in any of the live action stuff, the only other place we see somebody doing that is Vader in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And it's a very similar scene.
Okay, that part I hadn't even considered as part of this. It's literally an echo. We're gonna, here comes the George Lucas quote again. It's synergy, it rhymes.
Again, it's like poetry, it's sort of they rhyme. Mm-hmm. Every stanza kind of rhymes with the last one. Hopefully it'll work.
But it's literally Vader's hallway scene.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying.
I mean, he's just force raging. There's no
He's
finesse.
Dressed exactly like the only difference is the color of the lightsaber. That's it.
Yeah. Compelling. Well, speaking of different versions of Luke, then I think there's, because we might be too close to agreeing here. So let me get more extreme
sure.
in hopes of getting you to disagree with me, because I would hate for our first episode for us to agree.
I know. That would suck.
That would make me really sad. So I'm going to throw a curveball here. And this was almost the topic of the episode of this episode. But then it actually kind of blended well into this question of whether Luke turned to the dark side. And it brings up the latest, and I would say this doesn't quite rise to the tier of Darth Jar Jar, because I deeply believe in Darth Jar Jar, and I encourage anyone to go back and listen to the Darth Jar Jar episode, but it brings up the two Anakins theory. Have you heard much about this?
I have not.
Okay, so the two Anakins theory is that Palpatine made a clone replacement of Anakin between the end of the Clone Wars animated series and the start of episode 3. So one of the biggest inconsistencies in the Star Wars universe is sort of if you've watched the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah.
Sort of the mannerisms, the attitude, the maturity, the heroism, the dedication, all of that between the Anakin of the Clone Wars that goes like 8 seasons.
Right.
And the Anakin that we see in episode 3.
Okay. Right?
He basically like reverts all the way backwards. Like when you get to the end of season 8 of Clone Wars, the animated series, like Anakin is not a whiny little bitch anymore.
No, he's a badass general.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But then when you go to episode 3, he's a whiny little bitch
again.
He is
back to being a whiny little bitch.
So the theory goes that the reason that he goes back to being a whiny little bitch is that Palpatine has killed the original Anakin and replaced him with a clone who has, you know, a version of his same memories, but isn't the same Anakin that has the benefit of the years of tutelage of Obi-Wan, of the experiences of raising Ahsoka and being her master, and that he has inserted the clone Luke into this equation to basically tip the scale for, or to create momentum or inertia in his Order 66 master plan that he's about to pull the trigger on.
See, this is a very easy one to refute. Okay. It's very basic. It's okay. So simple. If Anakin had an evil twin, it is well understood in the science fiction universe that his evil twin has to have a goatee, and there is no goatee on this Anakin in Revenge of the Sith. So,
but I think George Lucas grows a goatee somewhere in this point because he didn't have one.
Oh, yeah. So maybe yeah, he just took the goatee onto himself, right?
But the place where this becomes interesting, because they're like the idea that the new Anakin is a just like fucked up clone that is part of this larger scheme that Palpatine is running, explains some of the character arc things that seem strange between Clone Wars episode 3. And then because you mentioned it to me, I went back today and I started watching Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Because season 3 of Bad Batch is actually addressing
some
of this stuff. And I think it's in Mandalorian too, is actually covering some of the cloning stuff, which I appreciate because I did rage about it pretty hard when they just like made it a thing all of a sudden in the sequel trilogies. But it all of a sudden starts to make sense, and it makes me think back to that same moment on the bridge where Palpatine's totally fine with being killed. And when you look at the timeline as of where things, where more blanks are getting colored in for us with Bad Batch and with Mandalorian, and it becomes clear this whole cloning process has been a major, major part of everything Palpatine has been doing, to the point where he's not really afraid of dying anymore because he's confident that his body is going to be reincarnated, regenerated. I don't know what the term is.
Right.
Into a new fleshy vessel that he can continue to purport his evil from. And so why wouldn't he, in all of the evil machinations in his kind of cloning portfolio, not attempt to insert clones into his Order 66 plan?
Yeah, there's something there. It's just, it's irritating to me. All of that plot makes sense. Mm-hmm. So why did they not spell that out initially?
Well, is that what we're going to get at the end of that's? So that's why this theory is popping up now. People are saying, like, is this going to be the big thing at the end of season 3 of Bad Batch? Like, people think this is what they're building towards. And the impact on our question of did Luke turn to the dark side? Well, then you start to think, well, if Luke is the son of Anakin clone.
Of the evil twin.
Of the evil twin, then he was inherently and genetically predisposed to evil anyway. I mean, look, Boba Fett is the offspring of Jango Fett. Oh, no, I guess he's another clone.
He's a clone.
Of Jango without the accelerated growth. Okay, yeah. So we'll throw that one out. But if he's one of these like side experiments, and I know it's not canon. I don't know if you got into the Force Unleashed stuff. That should be a movie. But there's a whole series of video games in which Vader has this apprentice who dies in the first one, but then gets cloned by Palpatine secretly in the second one and like comes back evil and all psychotic and fucked up. And it all sort of tracks with this two Anakins theory and the idea that perhaps Luke is not the offspring of the good and noble Anakin of the Clone Wars series, but in fact, the offspring of the evil, fucked up and hideously programmed clone that is inserted into the narrative after episode 3.
All right. So this brings up two things for me. First is a question. If all of this happened, what happened to the original Anakin?
Palpatine killed him. He used his genetic material to create the clone.
Okay. That still needs to be dealt with in some way.
I'm hoping that's what Bad Batch does.
Like, gotcha.
I want Star Wars to do just something nuts. Just something fucking nuts that 90% of people will be mad about that I'll like. Like, I'm so tired of being the person who's upset when everyone else likes something. I just want this whole fucking equation to be turned on its head.
So the other thing that it brings up, it actually, like what you're talking about reminds me of a Michael Keaton movie that came out back in the 90s. I can't remember the name of it. I think it was called Multiplicity. But Michael Keaton plays a guy who's cloning himself. So he ends up playing five different versions of himself. And the first one is just like this normal nerdy scientist guy. And then his next clone is like the super do everything well, but is very fastidious guy. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is like this super over aggressive dude. And then like by the time he gets to the fifth clone, the guy's like addled. He's not like okay. He's like not very bright. But so at what point, you know, if we've gone from the good Anakin to the bad Anakin, at what point do we get to the mentally challenged Anakin?
Or like the hilarious Anakin, like the guy, or like the one who like just wants to, I don't know, just wants to dance.
Yeah. And, you know, if we go by the multiplicity rules, then the bad Anakin is still several down the road. So did Palpatine just like keep cloning him and it like would get the version he didn't want and then would have to kill him and clone again? Or like, you know, were there multiple Anakins before he got the one that he wanted?
Yeah. So I think they cover that in the Force Unleashed video game I told you about. And there certainly were multiple Snokes before they got to the Snoke that we saw. I mean, they answered that in Mandalorian. So all of this stuff like kind of tracks. And look, I thought that the whole like Palpatine returns was the laziest piece of storytelling in the history.
Yes.
Since there were like buffalo handprints, like hand paintings on cave walls, is the laziest piece of storytelling in history. But they are going back and correcting some of it. And these puzzle pieces could potentially fit, which means for our purposes, that Luke could be the offspring of an evil clone.
Well, I hope that that's true, but keep in mind that the person who is going back and putting all these puzzle pieces together is none other than Dave Filoni, who also brought us Space Whales.
Yeah. And that stupid fucking hat he always wears. Look, so Jason, just to put a bow on it here, just to reiterate. Right. So fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering, which is the path to the dark side. So the fear, we have Luke with the fear of losing.
I thought that was how the prequels worked.
So we have Luke with the fear of losing his friends and family, which is, you know, the first step through a lot of characters that we've seen fall to the dark side begin with. Anger is the next step, which he used in battle to defeat, first to try to strike down Palpatine and then to defeat Vader.
And then there's denial. Oh, wait, no, that's a different thing.
Then there's relapse. Anger leads to hate. He hates himself for all of his failures, including almost murdering his poor little nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads to suffering, which I think we've covered that he suffered immensely with nothing, but with considering his lactose intolerance, nothing to consume but green milk and old
straight from the teat of the space walrus
and old gray scaly nuns on an isolated island in a planet that apparently you can't find.
Well, you say that, but
star map.
We don't know. I mean, he was into his own sister. This guy is, he could be all freaky deaky and we don't know about it.
And that is the path to, that equals the dark side. So we have the clear delineation down the path. We have all of the other parallel examples of folks who we don't really argue about having either fallen to the dark side or been involved in the dark side, or at least that's still a possibility open in their storyline because the storyline hasn't been concluded. And then we have this added piece of, look, it might be a Hail Mary, but to Anakin's theory, it's kind of a new thing that's out there and might land. We'll see how Bad Batch ends.
So is
this stupid or not?
It's not stupid, but it does open up another can of worms. Like, if Anakin gets a pass, like there was a good Anakin and then Palpatine killed him and made a clone of a bad Anakin, was that true of Ben Solo?
Also, I mean, let's not rule out Palpatine could have brainwashed him and he opened a 1940s diner on Coruscant and just. No, I don't think there needed to. I think that, look, evil begets evil, right? And so I think Ben Solo was probably at least worst case scenario in that same kind of like balancing act that Luke was in, probably with a little bit of predisposition towards the light side. But again, you wake up and you see your uncle standing over you with his lightsaber out, and not the good way.
That's about the ninth time in this episode where something about Star Wars has sounded really, really over-sexualized. That's great.
That'll turn you to the dark side real quick.
Yes, it will. Yeah, if you see your uncle standing over you with his lightsaber out.
So no, I don't think that I mean, I don't think it matters because he very clearly went to the dark side anyway. So there's not really much of an argument.
So the other one that we should probably address here, though, is, you know, we know that Luke got scared of the Force and how he was using it and the effect it was having on him, and he quit using it. You know who else did that?
Obi-Wan did it. Ahsoka did it.
Leia did it.
Yeah, okay. I thought it's just that, well, okay, so you have expanded universe and you have canon now, so I don't know.
No, in the sequel, the 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
It's established that
they're
going
to have to do some. They're going to have to do some cartoons.
Well, in I think it's Rise of Skywalker, they show a flashback. You know, they had actors that they digitally put Luke and Leia's young faces on, but it shows Luke training Leia.
I just blocked out everything. I swear, like that's
like PTSD
cool.
for you.
That
right?
sounds cool. I'd want to see that. I have no memory of it.
Yeah, no, at 100%, they show it in the movie, and Leia like beats Luke, and then. There's like sort of a throwaway line about she decided not to pursue the life of a Jedi because she was a general and she had to lead the rebellion. It was like, well, you can do both. Like it's not an either or proposition here. So that never made a lot of sense. But at the end of The Last Jedi, when Leia is burying when Rey is burying lightsabers, I think one of them is supposed to be Leia's lightsaber.
Well, I think that this just lets us know what the episode is going to be for May the 4th. 2025. I mean, we've got it figured out.
That's right. Well, although I think later this year or early next year, they're starting filming on the next Rey movie, which that, I know that you...
I'm so fucking... and here, breaking news, Pedro Pascal will play Rey. Right. Because he plays fucking everybody and everything. God, yes. We'll get to that. I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm having a good night. So, all right, what's your final call, Jason? Stupid or not stupid, Luke turned to the dark side.
So I think the evidence, I don't think there's enough evidence to say one way or the other. I think it's a far more interesting story if it's true. It makes the character's arc as shown more accurate. I sort of side with Mark Hamill. I wish they had gone a different direction with Luke. I know that there was a script running around at one point for The Force Awakens, I think it was the Last Jedi, where Rey gets in trouble and goes up against the Knights of Ren and Kylo Ren, and Luke comes to her rescue and just like beats the snot out of all of them. That's the Luke I wanted to see, not the whiny Luke on the island who's drinking out of a walrus tit. Like, it was really disappointing that the final battle we get to see Luke Skywalker fight, he's not even there. So if that's the ending of Luke we get, I hope he was dark.
Well, okay, so let's do what I dream of doing every night in my wildest fantasies. Let's throw the sequels out completely. Okay. Let's just go to the bridge of the second Death Star and the defeat of Vader. Does Luke use the dark side to defeat Vader?
Oh yeah, I don't think that's ambiguous at all. I think that's 100% what happens.
So we've answered it. It's not stupid.
No, I agree. It's not stupid. And on top of that, the very last scene in Return of the Jedi, where he's hanging out and he sees the Force ghosts, and then he goes back and he's hugging on Han and Leia. You look at the expression in his face. He's going to kill Han, and he's going to marry his sister. That's
right.
100%.
Yeah, he's going full Jamie. He's going full Lannister. We're just going to cross our genres now. He's bringing Game of Thrones into the Star Wars universe. All right. Well, with that, I guess we're back. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to have more out. We're going to release some of the lost episodes, not some of the intentionally lost episodes.
Right, right. Those are lost for a reason.
Those are lost for a reason. So yeah, this is going to be great. Are we back, or Jason, are we just evil clones of previous versions of ourselves?
Well, you definitely have the goatee.
Yeah. I didn't have this goatee last time. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. No, until next time.